Good morning. If you would join with me in our scripture reading, it's going to be found in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 10. And we're going to be mostly looking at 5 through 10, but I'm going to reread the whole chapter here so we can see where we're at. John says, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we've heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." You may be seated. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, Father, I ask for help this morning as I proclaim your word that you've given. Lord, I ask that it would be uplifting to the saints here this morning, that it would be glorifying to you and honoring to you, Lord, and that it would spur the unbeliever to Christ, to see that Christ is our salvation. So I just pray that the words I speak would be your words. We thank you for your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we find ourselves here back in 1 John. We were here a few months ago. 1 John chapter 1 again. And the reason that for this, for going back to chapter 1 again, is really because I didn't feel like we really fleshed out what John had, everything he had there. And there's just so much more crucial and beneficial truths here for believers. So last time we looked at this book and the chapter, we discovered that John was writing to believers in Ephesus. He was writing this as sort of a warning toward heretical thinking. And this heretical thinking in John's day was the growing early Gnosticism that was just beginning. But he was also giving direction for the believers as well, through his positive and negative affirmations. We saw that John was writing this letter, or this epistle, in a fatherly way. And we see this by the language that he uses. He says, "My little children." And we also see this fatherly way by his repetition in his teaching. It's very circular. The repetition is really what we all need, as we often forget quickly. And always we need to remember that John is writing this letter to believers so that they may know that they have eternal life. And so hopefully some of you took my challenge last time and read through the first book, the first letter here, 1 John. And I hope you did, because really as you read through this book, you get to experience John's consistency throughout the whole letter. The points that John starts out with in the beginning here are the same points that he continues with and he builds on. And some of those points that we're able to pull from the text and see consistency with are things like, God is light. We are to walk in the light. We are to love our brothers, the fellow believers. We are to keep his commandments. We are not to love the world. John is consistent on the fact that those who walk in the light are God's children. And God's children have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. These are things that John is consistent on. And as he speaks these to his little children, he is speaking this to the believers in Ephesus, but he's also speaking this to us this morning as well. A few things to remember as we read Scripture and as we study Scripture. We need to remember who the author is, what the original audience was that he was speaking to, and what that author was trying to say and what he was not trying to say. So we need guardrails to keep us on track of what the author is trying to say here. We must remember that these words were for us as well. So if John were to deliver this letter to us this morning, it would contain the same words, and that's because Scripture is infallible. Scripture does not change. Our world changes constantly around us. Every day it's changing. But Scripture does not change. God stays the same. God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. So as we look at this text this morning, what I want to look at this morning is, what does John mean when he says that God is light? Could be a basic idea, but what does John mean when he says God is light? Who is God? And what are we to think of God? We must have this sound knowledge of who God is if we are to worship him correctly, properly. And the more that we understand God, the greater our praises will be. And then also fellowship. What is fellowship? John seems to mention this multiple times. What does it mean to walk in darkness? And then, what does it look like to walk in the light? So, let's unpack what John has to say here in this first chapter of his letter and see what John meant to say to the believers in his day, but also how we can apply this to our lives right here and right now. And there's a lot of great applications here this morning. For believers and unbelievers. So let's look at it here. Let's look at verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5. John says, "This is a message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." And then if you move a little further down to verse 7, if you look a little further down there, it says, "If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin." So what does John mean here when he says that God is light? We should really desire to know what John means here, because we as believers are to walk in the light. So what does this mean? You know, we could come at this from a scientific perspective of what light is, definition of light. Light is very fascinating. Light is always moving. You know, we think of it as static, obviously. Oftentimes we think of it as static, as not moving. But light is actually always moving. And in fact, at 186,282 miles per second. Just a random fact about light, but it's fascinating. But I don't think this is what John is trying to press on, this scientific value of light here. What John wants us to see is who God really is. In a way, he explains God in an on and off manner. And he does this in the way that he compares him to light and darkness. And this is a dramatic distinction, a dramatic difference, light to darkness. He gives this perfection or this characteristic of God as light so that we see and understand that God is so pure and perfect that there is no darkness in him or around him at all. He does not tolerate sin whatsoever. And throughout the ages, theologians have tried to understand the perfections of God, the characteristics of God. There's been many faulty methods in discovering God's perfections. But we know that the only assured method of knowing who God is in the Word of God. God has revealed himself in nature, as Paul tells us in Romans, but the Bible gives us an accurate information about who God is. So church, let's open our Bibles. It's there for us. This is where God is revealed for our good and for his glory. So on Wednesday nights, Pastor has been going through a new study. He's been going through a study on the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. And this confession is this confession of faith is one that our church holds to. It's very similar to the Westminster Confession, but confessions have been something that the historical church has always loved, and they've always loved it not because it's something new, but because they love Scripture. And this confession in particular is really just a compilation of Scripture put together so that you and I can understand it, not just a theologian or a pastor, but you and I can understand. Putting Scripture side by side to really flesh out a certain topic. And so I wanted to read a little from the Baptist Confession of God and the Holy Trinity, who God really is. And this is, like I said, this is a compiled, nearly 60 verses compiled and thoroughly thought out of who God is. So this is, it's a little lengthy, but I hope you hang with me and listen and revisit this for yourself. Take notes, because this is important, who God is. It says, "The Lord our God is one, the only living and true God. He is self-existent and infinite in being and perfection. His essence cannot be understood by anyone but him. He is perfectly pure, a perfectly pure spirit. He is invisible and has no body part, no body parts or changeable emotions. He alone has immortality, dwelling in light that no one can approach. He is unchangeable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, in every way infinite, absolutely holy, perfectly wise, wholly free, completely absolute. He works all things according to the counsel of his own unchangeable and completely righteous will, for his own glory. He is most loving, gracious, merciful, and patient. He overflows with goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. He rewards those who seek him diligently. At the same time, he is perfectly just and terrifying in his judgments. He hates all sin and will certainly not clear the guilty. God has all light, all life, glory, goodness, and blessedness in and of himself. He alone is all sufficient in himself. He does not need any creature. He has made or does he derive any glory from them? Instead, he demonstrates his own glory in them, by them, to them, and upon them. He alone is the source of all being, and everything is from him, through him, and to him. He has absolute sovereign rule over all creatures, to act through them, for them, and upon them as he pleases. In his sight, everything is open and visible. His knowledge is infinite and infallible. He does not depend on any creature, so for him, nothing is contingent or uncertain. He is absolutely holy in all his plans, in all his works, and in all his commands. Angels and human beings owe him all the worship, service, or obedience that creatures owe to the Creator and whatever else he is pleased to require them. This divine and infinite being consists of three real persons: the Father, the Word, or the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three have the same substance, power, and eternity, each having the whole divine essence, without this essence being divided. The Father is not derived from anyone, neither begotten nor proceeding. The Son is eternally begotten of the Father. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. All three are infinite and without being, and are therefore only one God, who is not to be divided in nature or being. Yet these three are distinguished by several distinctive characteristics and personal relations. This truth of the Trinity is the foundation of all of our fellowship with God and of our comforting dependence on him. So like I said, that was a little lengthy, but I hope you hung with me as we hear what Scripture says. This is not Scripture, but it contains Scripture. You can go through every single line and pull out Scripture. And that was 60 verses of Scripture that defined who God is. So this description should really just put us in awe of who God is. It should cause us to wonder how a God like this could love someone like me. But this is the understanding of a God that we as believers need, and we need this understanding again and again and again. This knowledge of God stirs up in us a sense of adoration and worship. But worship, and especially in musical worship, really can get skewed, and it can become very us-focused when we don't have this correct view of who God is, what his characteristics are, his perfections, his holiness, how much God hates sin, how he cannot be associated with sin or darkness. We need this understanding. So this past week, I was reading a magazine. Some of you have read it as well. This is Tips on Preaching. Do's and don'ts and so on of preaching. And preaching God's word is really a high calling that carries along with it a heavy weight. So learning how to preach well is really of great importance to me. But in this magazine, I was reading the thing that stuck out to me most was what a sermon is not. The negative point was really what hit me the hardest. I don't want to preach incorrectly. I want to preach in a way that is glorifying to God and uplifting to you, saints. So this really held my attention, this idea of what I should not do. And the same thing rings true here this morning in this text. This is a weighty text that we as believers should desire. How do we walk in the light? What does that mean? But first, I want to give the negatives here first. I want to use Scripture here, and in particular, this first letter of John, to show you what walking in the darkness looks like. Right here from John's letter, we see that if your life is characterized by walking in darkness, you are walking in opposition to God. The truth is not in you. You do not confess your sins, nor are you convicted of them, because there is no light to expose them. Which in turn means that your sins have not been cleansed. You hate your brother or other fellow believers. You have no fellowship with him. You claim that you have no sin. You do not keep his commandments. You love the world and that what is in it, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. You do not love. You deny that Jesus is the Christ. And you practice sin. These are all marks of a person that is walking in darkness. Now, I want to take a moment to make sure that we have some barriers here, or some guardrails, as I mentioned earlier, to keep us from falling off the tracks of what John is having to say here. When John is talking about walking in the light or darkness, he's not saying that we can go around watching people whose lives are characterized by walking in the light, watching them to see if they have a bad day. Maybe Joe or Chris decides to go off on somebody. We can't say that now they're walking in the darkness. That's not what John is trying to get here. Or vice versa, someone whose life is characterized by walking in darkness. We can't watch them and see them do something good and assume that now they're walking in the light. That's not what John is getting at here. When John refers to walking in the darkness or light, he's referring to our character. What does our life look like? Our walk? Light or darkness? He isn't referring to what happens, and you can breathe a sigh of relief here. He isn't referring to something, things that happen sometimes. Okay, we all sin. Now, what does it look like to walk in the light? Now, this should really grab our attention, because John says that when we walk in the light, we can have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. This is what we should desire, to walk in the light. So what does John say walking in the light looks like? If our life is characterized by walking in the light, you have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You will have fellowship with other believers. You are grieved by your sin. You confess your sin to God. You are cleansed from all your sin. You hate your sin. You love to keep his word. And you love the brethren, fellow believers. You do not love this world. You confess Jesus as Lord. And you practice righteousness. It's important to note here that walking in the light does not require us to be perfect or without sin, because on this side of glory, we will continue to sin. But Christ has cleansed us from all of our sin. This doesn't give us the freedom to sin, because we know that, well, Christ has forgiven us of all of our sins, future, past, present. So what does it matter? Well, this kind of thinking is called antinomianism, is the word they put on it. And this kind of thinking is a mark of walking in darkness, not being grieved by our sins. And Paul addresses antinomianism in Romans chapter 6, where he says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound, increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it?" So, walking in light does not mean that we are without sin. And if we think we are without sin, John would say in verses 8 and 10 this morning, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. And we make God a liar when we say that we have no sin. And there's two types of people that would claim to have no sin in John's day and in our day as well. So a modern Gnostic in our day would be one, and a perfectionist on the other side. A modern Gnostic would say that it's not sin. You just haven't looked deep enough into yourself, because you are a God. You just need to find it. So it's not sin. And a perfectionist would say that that there's a place in this life, on this side of glory, that we can be perfect. And therefore, they would claim that they have no sin. John would say clearly that this person is deceived, without truth, and is making God a liar. Because God declared through Paul that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when we sin, our sin deserves punishment. God continues his declaration that the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you see that your life is characterized by walking in darkness, it's not too late to call upon the Lord today. It's important to know that we are not guaranteed tomorrow. If you're walking in darkness, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to call upon the Lord, and you will be saved. And you will be changed. And then you can look at this extensive list of what it means to walk in the light, and you could gratefully say, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon me, that I would be called a child of God." We are not cleansed because we walk in the light. Walking in the light does not produce salvation. Only the blood of Jesus that was shed for you to cover your sins, that and only that, gives salvation. There can be no works that produce salvation. Our walking in the light is a mere mark that we have been cleansed. That is how we are able to walk in the light. So fellowship. Fellowship is another word that John uses multiple times here. He uses his circular teaching to bring the idea of fellowship together for us. And like the other points that he drives home, this one is also clear for us to understand. And it's an important one. If we look back up at verse 3, again, John says that they are proclaiming to fellow believers what they have seen and heard so that they may have fellowship with us. And John says that their fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And then if we look back at 7 again, John says that if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So the idea here of fellowship and walking in the light really go hand in hand. John is saying that if you are walking in the light, you can have fellowship with the Father and his Son. And you can also have fellowship with fellow believers. This doesn't mean that our fellowship with other believers will be perfect. We may not agree on everything in life, but we have a central truth that defines us as believers. We are walking in light together. We have equally been cleansed by the blood of Christ from all of our sins. We equally share in the inheritance of Christ. And we are all adopted children of God. We were all in the court of law facing the death sentence equally, where Christ gave himself as an atonement for our sin, clearing us from the judgment of God and taking that judgment on himself at the cross, making us innocent in the eyes of God. Now our death sentence papers say innocent, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. But not only that, not only did Jesus Christ stand guilty for us, not only did he clear us from the death sentence, but the Father welcomed us into his family. Us, who were at one time his enemies, the ones who drove the nails into the cross of his Son. He adopted us as his family. He adopted us as his children, never to be snatched from the hand of God. And this is what our fellowship is centered around, beloved. This is why we can enjoy the blessing and fellowship together and with our blessed Savior. What a God, what a Savior that we have, that he would look on a wretch like me. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. So this morning, what camp are you in this morning? The camp of light or darkness? If you're not sure this morning, just know that there is no middle camp. The light switch doesn't hang half on, half off. There is either light or there's darkness. How are you walking? What mark characterizes your life? What marks characterize your life? Marks of darkness or marks of light? Does sin delight you? Or does sin grieve you? Are you callous to sin, or does sin severely grieve you because you know the cost that Christ paid for every one of your sins? If you are walking in the light, beloved, you ought to be a person of confession as well. Confessing your sins to God. Desiring to restore that fellowship with God. And desiring to turn from your sin. Now, this confession of sin is not a work added to salvation either. Our confession is of our sin to God is, it's a mark of a child of light. It's a mark of a person walking in light. We confess our sins because we desire a good fellowship with God. And we know that Christ Jesus, his Son, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We do not confess our sins because we're afraid we might miss one and then we might not be forgiven. We know that Christ has fully paid, 100%, fully paid for all of our sins on the cross. He has paid for our past sins, our sins now, and our sins for tomorrow and forever. Our confession is a desire to have a right and good fellowship with our loving God. Our confession is a desire to have a right and good fellowship with our loving God. And in this fellowship, we know that God hates sin and can have no association with it. So that is our desire as well. That should be our desire. To be convicted of sin. To hate, abhor, and detest sin. And to desire righteousness. We also go to God because we ultimately need his help to keep us from sin. So let us be a church that is filled with confessing people. A church that is walking in the light, loving each other as we enjoy fellowship with each other. And let us be a people that looks to Christ's work on the cross for salvation and nothing else. So what camp are you in this morning? If you're in the camp of darkness, turn to Christ today. Do this by repenting of your sins to God, not to a priest or someone else, but to God. And confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that Christ died on the cross for your sin, every single one of them. Believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved, and you will be changed. Your old self will be put off, your new self will be put on, and you will begin to walk in the light. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord. We do thank you for our fellowship that we can have together in Christ. We just pray that these words from John here in 1 John would really penetrate us and cause us to be a confessing people, cause us to seek your face, to love Christ more, Father. We just pray that you would grow our faith, Lord. Help us to apply these words to our lives in the week ahead of us, Father. And keep us in your word, Lord. And we just ask that you would keep us from sin as well. Heavenly Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can rise and turn in your hymns to 597. Let it be said of us.